My name's James.
James. Jared.
Jared. What we're going to do today is we're going to do a water and spirit Bible study. So if you'll get your Bible, we're going to look in the book of John, and we're going to look at John chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 3. And we're going to do a water and spirit Bible study.
I have two different versions. You want me to read out of this King James? I'd never read out of this.
All the King James. You'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, that's just what we have, so that'll be fine.
I heard this is for old people.
Well, it's not for old people. Okay. It's for everybody.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so we're going to do a water spirit Bible study. And we're going to look here in John chapter 3. And we're going to start reading in verse 3. But this is the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the middle of the night. He starts buttering him up. You know, Jesus, we know you're from God. Nobody can do these miracles except that God be with him. But Jesus just literally cuts him off right in the middle of the sentence. And he gets right to the most important thing. Go ahead and read verse 3.
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily.
Now, hold on now. Verily, verily. When you see those words, what those words verily, verily mean is, hold on. Stop everything. Hold the presses. Most important truth is about to come forth. You have got to get what I'm about to say. Anytime you see verily, verily, that's what that means. Hold it. Listen. You have got to get this very important truth.
Okay.
So he says, verily, verily, what's he say?
I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Except he be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Cannot.
So according to Jesus, it's absolutely impossible to see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. But what do you mean? What does it mean to be born again? You know, am I supposed to go back inside my mom and have her shoot me out again the second time? You know, I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit bigger than I was the first time. You know, my mama loves me, but I don't think my mom's going to go for that. You know, and that seems kind of crude almost, doesn't it? But that's exactly was Nicodemus' response. Read on.
Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
That's exactly what Nicodemus says.
Huh.
I get it. I must be born again or I cannot see the kingdom of God. But what does it mean to be born again? Am I supposed to go back inside my mom? He didn't understand what it meant. And we're living in a day and age where it's very cliche or very popular to be born again. Everybody's born again. You drive by a church, you've just been born again. You shake a preacher's hand, you've just been born again. You're flipping through the TV channels and you pass the preaching station, you've just been born again. It's a very popular term in today's world. You've heard it a lot, haven't you?
I've been born again.
Yeah, but born again. So that everybody's got their opinion on it. But luckily, Jesus goes on to explain exactly what it means to be born again. So let's read verse 5.
Jesus answered, Verily, verily.
Verily, verily.
Hold the presses. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water.
And the what?
The Spirit.
You what?
Cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
So according to Jesus, it's absolutely impossible to go to heaven unless you're born again of what two things?
The water.
And the what?
And the Spirit.
And the Spirit. Now, if Jesus said you must be born again of the water and the Spirit, or you cannot go to heaven, is there any other way?
Doesn't leave much room.
Yeah, that means you must be born again of the what two things?
The water
and
the Spirit.
So that's pretty important right there. According to Jesus, to be born again means to be born again of what two things?
The water
and the
Spirit.
And the Spirit. So what we're going to do is we're going to look. If it's that important, we're going to look and see according to the Bible exactly what it means to be born again of the water and the Spirit. So we're going to look in John chapter 7. And we're going to look at verse 37. We're going to pick up Jesus talking here. And Jesus is preaching. And let you read there.
In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.
Keep going.
He that believeth on me, as this scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Now, what are you talking about now, Jesus? If I believe on you, like the scriptures have said, out of my belly is going to flow water? I don't know about you, but if I have water flowing out of my belly, I'm in trouble. That's what you think, right?
Yeah.
So, but luckily, Jesus goes on to explain what he's talking about. Read in verse 39.
But this spake he of the Spirit.
The Spirit. the spirit birth,
which they that believe on him should receive.
Should receive, not have received, but should receive.
For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.
So he said this experience, he's talking about the Spirit. And then he turns right around and he calls the Spirit what?
He calls it the Holy Ghost?
The Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of people will tell you that the Spirit and the Spirit birth and the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are different things. But here, according to Jesus' own teaching, they take the Spirit and then he turns right around and calls it the what?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. So according to Jesus, when he's talking about being born again of the Spirit, he's really talking about what?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. Okay, now we're going to look and we're going to find out what the water is. Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 16, and we're going to look at verse 15.
What does he mean when he said it was not yet given?
Well, we'll get to that. We'll
okay.
Get to that. So we're going to look at Mark 16. And go ahead and start reading verse 15.
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
And what's going to happen when you preach?
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
He that believeth and is what?
Baptized.
Baptized. That means baptized in the water. He that believeth and is baptized. And that word literally means immersed. To go okay. Underneath the water. He that believeth and is what?
Baptized.
Baptized. Not just believing. This is Jesus speaking here. It's believing and being what?
Baptized.
Baptized. That's how important water baptism is. Shall be saved. Now, he that what? Believeth not.
Shall be damned.
Why would that be?
Oh my God.
Because if you don't believe, obviously you're not going to get baptized, right?
Yeah, I guess.
So here it is. According to Jesus, saying that water baptism is absolutely essential. So the water birth is really talking about what?
Being baptized.
Being baptized. Okay. Now we're going to look at this again, and we're going to see more examples of it as we go through this Bible study. So okay. We're going to turn to the book of Acts chapter 1, and we're going to look there. Jesus, they took him. They crucified him on the cross. He shed his blood. He died for the sins of the whole world. You know the story, how that Jesus came. He loved the world, gave himself, and he died on the cross. But the grave couldn't hold him. They put him in that tomb. The grave couldn't hold him. Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the third day. And Jesus came back and he spent time with his disciples. And we pick up in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. This is the last conversation Jesus ever has with his disciples before he goes to heaven. In verse 4, go ahead and read.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me.
Right. Read on.
For John truly baptized with water.
John baptized with water. Water baptism is absolutely essential. Remember, Jesus said, you must be born again of what?
Water and Spirit.
And Spirit. So here he is. He's talking about the water birth. But okay. What else is going to happen?
So be baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
So here it is. The last conversation Jesus ever has with his disciples here on earth. He's talking about what two things?
Being baptized with water and being baptized with the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Because Jesus said you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. Now, they didn't understand what he was talking about. They said, are you going to restore your kingdom? Are you going to set up your throne? And they didn't understand what he was really talking about. So he told them, forget all that. What you need to understand is in verse 8. This is what you need to understand.
But ye shall receive power. I like that.
That's a strong word.
After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
So and you're going to do what?
Shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth.
So he tells his disciples, you need to go to Jerusalem and get the Holy Ghost, and you're going to get the Holy Ghost, and you will have power when
power.
You get it to be a witness. So what we're going to do now is we're going to look, right after that, Jesus ascends right into heaven. That's the last conversation he has with his disciples. Now we're going to look and we're going to see what happens when they get the Holy Ghost. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 2 and we're going to read in verse 4. And we're going to see what happens when they get born of the Spirit.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, that was Peter and James and John and Mary, the mother of Jesus. It says 120 of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What happened when they received the Holy Ghost?
It says they began to speak with other tongues.
They began to speak with other tongues. How?
As the Spirit gave them utterance.
As the Spirit gave them utterance. When the Spirit of God came inside them, not just with them. When they were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, they began to speak in other tongues. And that word tongues means a language. A language they didn't learn in school. And that was the way they knew they received the Holy Ghost. Now, some people gathered around and they heard it. Some people knew this was from God. Some people started mocking them and calling them drunk and making fun of them. Now, they just got the Holy Ghost, though. And you remember Peter? You remember how Peter walked on the water? He got out of that boat and walked on the water. He did all those miracles and all those things happened.
And he sinked.
But when he came right down to it,
sank.
At the end of Jesus' journey at the Last Supper, he said, "Peter, before this night's over with, you're going to deny me." Peter said, "Not me, Lord. Maybe these other guys, but not me. I've done all that. I walked on the water," is what he was thinking. But literally, before that night was over, sure enough, he denied Jesus, didn't he?
Think so.
He didn't have the power to stand up and to even admit that he knew Jesus. But now he got the power of the Holy Ghost. And that same crowd that just killed Jesus comes up there and is hearing this right now. Now, Peter's not afraid. He stands up with the power of the Holy Ghost. He starts preaching a powerful message. He says, "This is exciting. This is what the prophets prophesied about. We've been looking for this day for a long day. This is God pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. This is a great day." But then he turns right around and starts preaching a pretty hard message. He says, "You guys killed Jesus." And he preaches to them. And when he gets done preaching in Acts verse 32, verse 37, we'll see what their response is.
What verses?
Verse 37.
Now, when they heard this,
when they heard that message he preached,
they were pricked in their heart.
They felt conviction. And what did they say?
They said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?"
What shall we do? Well, their meaning is, what must we do to be saved? Right now, okay. If you've just been killing Jesus, you're probably not ready to go to heaven, are you?
I don't know.
If you've been killing Jesus, you're not going to heaven.
Okay.
So they're asking, "What? You're right. We killed Jesus. We did wrong. What must we do to be saved?" What do you think he's going to tell them?
You want me to read?
Well, what did Jesus not yet? What did Jesus say you had to do to go to heaven? Jesus said you had to be born what?
Of water
and what?
Of the Spirit.
Or you what?
Cannot
go to heaven. Mm-hmm. So do you think that's what he's going to tell them?
Something like that.
Let's see if that's what he tells them in verse 38.
So Peter said unto them, "Repent."
Repent. Repent means that literally means to turn around. You've been killing Jesus. Stop killing Jesus. You've been living the wrong way, doing the wrong thing, living for the devil. Quit living for the devil. Quit doing the wrong thing and turn around and turn to Jesus. That's what repent means. Repent. Then what are you supposed to do after you repent?
Be baptized.
Here it is. Baptism. Water baptism. And what birth is baptism?
In the name.
Well, hold on. What birth is baptism?
It's of the water.
It's the water. Okay. And who is baptism for? Read
me,
on.
Me, everyone.
Every one of you.
One of you.
And
in the name,
how do you do it?
Of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Christ.
And what's it for?
The remission of sins.
Now that word literally means forgiveness. Remission is
remission.
Forgiveness of sins. Now wait a second now. Some people will tell you that baptism is a public profession of faith. What you do is you believe on the Lord and you accept Him as your Savior and you're automatically saved. You believe in Him, you accept Him, you're saved. But what we do is we get baptized publicly as a public profession of something that's already taken place in private. We believe, we accept Him, we're saved, but we just get baptized as a public profession. Have you ever heard that before?
I did that once.
Well, some people, but if that's true, what do we do with the Scripture? Because what does the Scripture say baptism is for?
For the remission of sin.
Right. Baptism is not for a public profession. It's for literally the remission, the forgiveness, the washing away of your sins.
That's what baptism is for. So I need to be baptized?
So that's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you repent and be baptized. So what birth is that?
That's the water birth.
Now, Jesus said you had to be born again of what two things?
Water and spirit.
So what do you think is coming next?
The spirit.
Okay, let's see if that's what happens.
And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so here it is. That's what he said. You got to be born again of the water and the spirit. And Peter explains exactly what it means to be born of the water and the spirit. So baptism in what name?
The name of Jesus
and
Christ.
And what's it for?
For the remission of sins.
And the spirit is what?
The gift of the Holy Ghost.
And how did they know they got the Holy Ghost when they received it?
Those guys spoke in tongues.
They spoke in tongues. So here it is. Peter preaches to them exactly what that Jesus told them they must do to go to heaven. Now, who is this for? Read on and we'll find out who this is for.
For the promise.
The promise. The promise of repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and the receiving of the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is for who?
Unto you.
To you, the people he's speaking to.
And to your children.
To your children, the people, the children of the people he was speaking to. Who else is it for?
And to all those that are afar off.
Now, we're a long ways from Jerusalem, right?
Yes.
So we probably qualify there, right?
Maybe.
Okay, and who else is it for?
It is for as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Now, is God still calling people today?
Yes.
So that means it's still for us today.
Yes.
Because God is still calling us. So the plan that you must be born again of what two things?
The water and the spirit.
Is still for us today,
okay.
Right?
Okay, all right.
And it says here they that, in verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized. There's about 3,000 people. Wow. So here it is. Jesus said you had to be born again of what two things?
The water and the spirit.
And according to the Bible, what's the water?
The water is baptism.
And how do you do it?
In Jesus' name.
And what's it for?
The remission of my sins.
And what's the spirit birth?
It is the Holy Ghost.
And how do you know?
By speaking in another language.
Speaking in other tongues. That's the sign of the Holy Ghost. Okay. Now, some people will tell you that this was the only time this ever occurred, was on this particular day. But we're going to look and we're going to see if this took place at any other time in the Bible. So we're going to turn to the book of Acts chapter 10. And we're going to look at the story of Cornelius. Now, the Bible says Cornelius was a good man, a devout man, a man who loved God. He gave sacrifices and offerings and everything. But the Lord sent an angel to him. And the angel said to Cornelius, "Say, Cornelius, you need to have Peter come preach to you. He's going to preach to you the words that are going to save you and your household." Now, Cornelius didn't go, "What you talking about? I'm not saved." Even the Bible says I'm a good man. He didn't do that. You know, but he simply said, "Lord, everything you've given me has been good. Everything you've got's good. You've blessed me. God, if you've got more blessings for me, bring it on." So he sent, and he had Peter come, and Peter began to preach to him. And in verse 43 of Acts chapter 10, we pick up Peter's message.
To him give all the prophets witness.
To Jesus.
That through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins.
Remission of sins. Is that word familiar?
Yeah.
What's he talking about, do you think?
Maybe he's talking about baptism?
That's right. Now, let's see what happens in verse 44.
While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost, that's a familiar word.
The Holy Ghost.
Fell on all them which heard the word.
Cornelius and all of his household got the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 45 says, they of the circumcision, which means the Jews, which believed, they were astonished. As many as came with Peter. Why were they amazed?
Verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost.
They received the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know they got the Holy Ghost?
Well,
read on. We'll find out.
It says in 46 that they heard them speak with tongues.
They heard them speaking with tongues. That's how Peter knew that Cornelius and his household got the Holy Ghost. They're sitting there. He's preaching to them. All of a sudden, they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they know it because they hear them what?
Speaking in tongues.
And what birth is that?
That is the gift of the Holy Ghost.
And the Holy Ghost is what birth?
The Spirit.
The Spirit birth. That's how they knew. Now, they just received the Spirit birth. What do you think is going to happen next?
Did they get baptized or something?
Right, because Jesus said you had to be born again of what two things?
Of water and of Spirit.
Now, let's see if they bring up baptism next.
So, it doesn't matter in what order?
Well, let's look on and we'll get to that.
Okay. Verse 47.
47.
Can any man forbid water?
Here it is, water. Can anybody forbid? Can anybody keep these from being baptized? Read on.
That these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we.
Peter's saying, you guys, as well as we, means the exact same way we did. He's
right.
Saying, Cornelius, you guys got the Holy Ghost the same way we got it.
Okay.
They got the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, speaking in tongues, and that's how Peter knows that Cornelius has received the Holy Ghost. Now, can anybody keep from being baptized?
No.
Obviously, the answer is no. So what happens next in verse 46 or 48?
He commanded them to
commanded
be baptized
in
the
name
of the Lord.
What's the name of the Lord?
Is that Jesus?
We know the name of the Lord is Jesus. Paul was on the road to Damascus, saw a light shining down. He fell down. He said, Lord, who art thou? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. So we know that is the name of the Lord. But look, start again. He said, and he what in verse 48?
They prayed.
And we'll go back. To the beginning of verse 48.
They commanded them
to
be baptized.
Them. Now, we're kind of like gentlemen. We don't do that. We're like, you know, baptism may be good for you. And, you know, it'd be a blessing. And, you know, maybe would you like to consider, maybe think about, maybe to be baptized. That's what we do. But if Peter was here, Peter said, hey, you got the Holy Ghost. I command you to be baptized right now. In the name of Jesus. That's how important baptism is. Because Jesus said you had to be born again of what two things?
Water and Spirit.
Or you what?
Or you cannot enter the kingdom.
Go to heaven. That's absolutely right. That's why he commanded them to be baptized immediately.
Okay.
So here we see again, many, many years later, after the original outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, Peter is still preaching the same message that you have to be born again of what two things?
Water and Spirit.
And what's the water?
Baptism.
And how do you do it? In what name?
Jesus.
And what's it for?
Remission of sins.
And what's the Spirit birth?
Holy Ghost.
And how do you know when you got it?
Speaking in tongues.
How did Peter know that Cornelius got it?
He heard him speak
first
in tongues.
Heard them speaking in tongues. So here it is again. They're preaching the exact same thing. So now, we're going to go back and we're going to look at another preacher. And we're going to see if anyone else ever preached this same message. So we're going to go back to Acts chapter 8. And we're going to look at Philip preaching. Philip is another preacher. He's left Jerusalem. He's gone over into Samaria. And he's preaching. And in verse 12, we'll pick up the story there.
But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women.
So Philip preaches here. And they believe the message he preached. And obviously, he must have been preaching about baptism because they believed so much that they got baptized in the water. And what's that water baptism? What birth is that?
That's water birth?
The water birth. Okay. Now, in verse 13 says, Simon himself believed also when he was baptized. And Simon was a sorcerer. He'd been tricking the people with magic.
Uh-huh.
And he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done.
Okay.
Now, let's see what happens next in verse 14.
Now, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John.
Now, what did Peter and John do when they got there?
Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost.
Now, wait a second. Some people will tell you that when you become a believer and you accept the Lord as your Savior, you're automatically filled with the Holy Ghost. We believe in Jesus, we accept Him, and we have automatically been filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit or the Spirit. Have you ever heard that?
Oh, yes.
But if that's true, why are Peter and John coming down to pray for them to receive the Holy Ghost? They believed, and they believed so much they got baptized. Why are they praying for them to receive the Holy Ghost?
Good point, brother.
Read on, verse 16.
For as yet He was fallen.
He, the Holy Ghost.
upon none of them.
They didn't have the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
They were believers and they were baptized, but they had not received what?
The baptism of water.
They'd already been baptized in the water.
Oh, sorry.
Only
they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, so they hadn't received the Spirit.
Let's go back. We'll pick this up. For as yet he, the Holy Ghost, was fallen upon none of them. So that tells us they had not yet received what?
The Spirit.
The Spirit. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. Here are believers who were baptized who did not have the Holy Ghost. So what does that tell us? That believing and receiving the Holy Ghost are what? Two
essential,
separate, individual experiences.
Okay.
So then what happens now? Only they were baptized how?
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. So when they were baptized, they got baptized in Jesus' name. Then let's see what happens in verse 17.
Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost.
And they received the Holy Ghost. And what birth is that?
The Spirit.
The Spirit birth. Now, so they, here it doesn't say they spoke in tongues.
Okay.
But the Bible does say that in verse 18, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money.
Hmm.
When they received the Holy Ghost, there was a physical outward manifestation, an outward sign. It wasn't just, you got it. He literally could see on the outside a physical sign that they had received the Holy Ghost. Now, it does not say they spoke in tongues, but speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance is definitely an outward sign, isn't it?
Yes.
So, here it is again. We see Philip is preaching the exact same thing that Peter preached. Jesus said you had to be born again of what two things?
Water
and the Spirit. And the Spirit. And what's the water?
Baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sins.
For the remission of sins. And what's the Spirit birth?
It is speaking in tongues.
Right? That's what the
sign. Holy Ghost.
That's the Holy Ghost. And the
speaking
the way
in
you
tongues.
Knew was speaking in tongues.
Yes.
Okay. So here's another preacher we've looked at. We're going to look and we're going to see another preacher. We're going to go to the book of Acts chapter 19 and we're going to look at Paul. And we're going to see if anybody else preaches this exact same message. The book of Acts chapter 19. We're going to start reading in verse 2. But verse 1 says that Paul passed through the upper coast. He came to the city of Ephesus and he finds disciples there. And Paul has a burning question in his heart. He's got a burning question. He asked them in verse 2. We'll pick it up. We'll see what Paul asked these disciples.
Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?
Now, wait a second. Some people will tell you, remember, that you become a believer and you accept the Lord as your Savior. And you're automatically filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Have you ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if that's true, why is Paul asking this question?
Right.
If you automatically got the Holy Ghost when you become a believer, would Paul be asking these people this question?
Good point.
He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed, right?
Yeah.
So if you automatically got the Holy Ghost when you became a believer, it'd be, oh, you're a believer. Hey, high five. You have the Holy Ghost, right?
That's right.
So what this tells us again is that believing and receiving the Holy Ghost is
two
what?
Two separate things.
Two separate experiences. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, what was their answer to that question?
They said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.
We don't have it. We don't got it. We don't know. So, Paul here checks what birth. He talks about the Holy Ghost, and what birth is that?
The Spirit.
And the answer is no, right?
No.
So, what do you think he's going to check next?
He's going to check that water birth.
Let's see if that's what he checks in verse 3.
And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized?
There it is. He asked him, how'd you get baptized? And what was their response?
Unto John's baptism.
They were baptized by John the Baptist. Now, if you could have anybody baptize you, wouldn't you want to have John the Baptist baptize you?
Yes.
John the Baptist baptized Jesus, right?
Uh-huh.
If you was baptized by John the Baptist, you'd be ready to sail off into glory right now, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd think, I'm ready to go to heaven right now, right?
I guess, yeah.
You know, that's what you think, right?
Maybe.
But wait, there. Let's see what happens. Let's read on.
Okay, so then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus.
So that was a message that they had heard already, because that was a message that John the Baptist preached every day. There's one coming after me, mightier than I. I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. He's going to be the one that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That was a message that they had already heard. But obviously, between verse 4 and verse 5, Paul does a little more preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because the very next thing that happens in verse 5, what happens there?
When they heard this, they were baptized.
They were baptized. Again, they got re-baptized. How?
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. That's how important it was to be baptized in the name of Jesus.
Oh.
That they got re-baptized.
Okay.
It wasn't good enough just to go under the water. But they had to have the name of Jesus called in baptism. It was so important, they got re-baptized here. And it's not just an act of going under the water, right? Have you ever been swimming?
Yes, a little.
But were you being baptized?
No.
Have you ever taken a bath?
Yes.
Were you being baptized?
No.
Have you ever tripped and fell in a river?
Probably.
Well, I have, in a river and a lake.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I wasn't being baptized, was I?
No.
So it's not just going under the water that makes it baptism. It's going under the water and calling the name of what?
The name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus. It was so important to call the name of Jesus in baptism that they got re-baptized. Now, what birth is that?
That's water.
That's the water birth. So what do you think is going to happen next?
Spirit.
Let's see if that's what happens.
So you want me to continue reading? Okay. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them.
They got the Holy Ghost, and how did they know what happened?
They spake with tongues and prophesied.
So when they got the Holy Ghost, here it is again. The way they knew is they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. So here's another preacher, the Apostle Paul, preaching the exact same message that Jesus told them to preach. Jesus said you had to be born again of what two things?
The water and spirit.
And what's the water?
Baptism.
And how do you do it?
Name for the remission of sins.
For the remission of sins. And what's the spirit birth?
Holy Ghost.
And how do you know you got it?
Speaking in tongues.
Speaking in tongues. Okay. So here it is again, preaching the exact same message. Now quickly, we're going to turn to the book of Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at Paul's conversion. We're going to look at Ananias came and preached to him. Paul was on the road to Damascus, actually going to kill the Christians. He saw a light from the heaven. He fell down on the ground. He said, Lord, Lord, who art thou? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. But the Lord told him, you got to go and there's going to be someone going to preach to you. Now, do you think Paul became a believer right then?
No.
Well, yeah, of course he did.
Oh, he did?
Absolutely. If you're sitting there talking to Jesus and seeing him, you'd be a believer, right?
Okay.
Did you see Jesus at your conversion?
No.
Okay, neither did I. So obviously, if I'm fell down on the ground and I'm seeing Jesus, I'm a believer.
Okay.
Okay, so he is a believer.
That's your opinion.
Jesus tells him that you need to go. And Ananias, there's going to be someone that tells you what you need to do. Now we're going to see what Ananias preached to Jesus in verse 17 of Acts chapter 9.
And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.
And be filled with the Holy Ghost. So here it is. He's telling them you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But wait, didn't he become a believer on the road out there when he saw Jesus?
Your opinion, yes.
Apparently, yes. He saw Jesus. He was a believer. But he still had to receive what?
He had to receive the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. And so what happened then, verse 18?
Immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized.
And he immediately got baptized. So here's Ananias preaching the exact same message, Holy Ghost and baptism. We'll pick up in Acts chapter 22, and we're going to look at Paul recounting this experience. Acts chapter 22, verse 16, Paul is recounting what Ananias preached to him. And in verse 16,
And now why tarriest thou?
Why are you waiting? Tarriest means, or why are you waiting, Paul?
Arise.
Arise and do what?
Be baptized.
And what happens when you get baptized?
Your sins will wash away.
Well, read what it says.
Oh, sorry. And wash thy sins away. And wash away thy sins.
And how do you do it?
On the name of the Lord.
Calling on the name of the Lord. It's not just being baptized to wash away your sins. You've got to be baptized calling on the name of the Lord. It's in the spoken word. Now, he said, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. He got up and be baptized immediately. Did you know in the Bible, people did not wait to be baptized. Do you know why they didn't? Well, what is baptism for?
So that we can be saved.
Well, what does the Bible say it's for? What does the Scripture say it's for?
It's for the washing away of sins.
For the washing away of your sins. For the forgiveness, remission of sins. That word remission literally means forgiveness. Baptism is for the remission, the forgiveness, the washing away of your sins. Now, if baptism is for the washing away of your sins, forgiveness of your sins, where are your sins if you're not baptized?
Still there.
They're still there in your life, right? Now, if your sins are still there in your life and Jesus comes back or something bad happens to you, is that going to be good or bad?
It's going to be bad.
That's going to be bad.
Very bad.
That's why in the Bible, they never waited to be baptized. They always got baptized immediately because it was absolutely important to be necessary to be baptized so they could go to heaven. Because Jesus said you had to be born again of what two things?
Water and Spirit.
And what's the water?
Baptism.
And what? How do you do it? What name?
Jesus.
And what's it for?
Remission of sin.
And what's the Spirit birth?
It is the Holy Ghost.
And how do you know you got it?
Speaking in tongues.
Speaking in tongues. So here we look, and we've looked at another preacher, Ananias, preaching the exact same thing. You must be born again of the water and the Spirit. Now we're going to look in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. And we're going to see here Paul teaching the exact same principle. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 9. Go ahead. And we're going to read this out of the New King James Version because it makes it a little clearer to understand. Okay. Go ahead and start reading there.
Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom
of
God? He
said, don't you understand? The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's absolutely impossible for the unrighteous to inherit the kingdom of God. Read on.
Do not be deceived.
Do not be deceived. The unrighteous shall not. It's impossible for them to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, even at that time, there's people that say you could live any way you want. You could do anything you want. And we're all going to heaven. But that's not what Paul said. Paul says, don't be deceived. Doesn't matter what anybody says. Do not be deceived. Understand this. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What are the unrighteous? Read on.
Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God.
Paul's saying here, do not be deceived. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They said, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, none of these people shall inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what anybody tells you. Doesn't matter what anybody says. Do not be deceived. Because there's a lot of people that will tell you that you can do anything you want and we're all going to go to heaven. But Paul here says, do not be deceived. But there's some good news. Okay. What's the good news?
And such were some of you.
That's the good news.
It is.
And such were some of you.
Oh.
You used to be those things, but something happened. What happened?
But you were washed.
How do you think they got washed?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You're washed. And you're what?
You were sanctified.
And you're what?
Justified.
You were washed how?
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
You're washed in the name. There's the powers in the name. You are washed in the name of the Lord Jesus. And by what?
The Spirit of our God.
You're washed, sanctified, justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So here it is again. He's saying that you've got to be born again of what two things? Talking about what?
Water and Spirit.
The water and Spirit. What's the water?
baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sins.
And what's the Spirit?
Receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues.
Speaking in tongues. So here it is again, the exact same principle being taught. Now, we've looked at several preachers, and they've all preached the exact same message. But
yeah,
you might know that not everybody baptizes the way that we've looked at today. Every time that somebody got baptized, we have just looked at every place in the Bible where it actually records somebody being baptized, where it either records what was told to them before they were baptized, or recounts or tells how they were baptized. Every time they were baptized how?
In Jesus'
name. In Jesus' name. Now, you know not everybody baptizes that way today, right?
Yeah.
But
I was baptized in the titles.
But the Bible doesn't contradict itself, right?
I believe that.
So we're going to look, and we're going to see if we can't figure this out. Let's look back in Matthew 28, and we're going to take a look here, and we're going to see if we can't remedy this situation. Matthew chapter 28. Now this is Jesus here, after he's been crucified, after he's risen from the dead. He's having that last conversation with them, and this is what he says in verse 18. Go ahead and start reading there. 28:18.
He said, and he came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Jesus says, I got all the power. So verse 19.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Verse 20.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world.
So this is Jesus talking to Peter.
Amen.
And Jesus says, Peter, I am giving you a commandment. Peter, I am commanding you to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This isn't optional. He said, Peter, I'm commanding you to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And Peter turns right around. And what name does Peter say to be baptized in?
Yeah, he says Jesus.
In Jesus' name, right?
That's weird.
In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he told them to everyone to be baptized in Jesus' name. And a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 10, he commanded people to be baptized in what name?
Jesus.
That's right. It wasn't optional. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, the Bible doesn't contradict itself, right?
I don't know.
Of course it does.
Okay.
So we're going to look at this a little closer, and we're going to see if we can't figure this out. Because every time they baptize, they call the name of Jesus. Let's look now at verse 19, and let's read this a little closer and see if we can't figure this out.
Okay. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name...
Now stop right there. Name. Is there an S on the end of that?
No.
There's no S on that. So it's not names, it's name, right?
Name.
So Jesus is saying, Peter, I command you to baptize in the name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm commanding you to baptize in the name, mm-hmm. a name, the one name that is the name for Father, Son, and Spirit. He's saying, Peter, I command you to baptize in the one name that is the name for Father, Son, Spirit. What name do you think that might be?
Jesus.
Now, we'll understand now. Look, are you a father?
I am, yes.
But is that your name?
Nope.
Are you a son?
Yes.
Is that your name?
Nope.
Do you have a spirit?
Yes.
But if I say, hey, spirit, did I call you by your name?
No.
Or hey, ghost?
No.
I didn't, right? Why not?
Because those are just who I am, but not my name.
They're not a name.
Okay.
They're titles. They're words that describe. But Jesus commanded Peter to baptize in the name, a name, one name, that is the name for Father, Son, and Spirit. What name is? Do you think that is?
Jesus.
That's right. It's in Jesus' name. That is the name. When you call the name of Jesus, you get Father, Son, Spirit. You get all of God when you call the name of Jesus.
Wow.
That's where the power is, in the name of Jesus. That's pretty clear now, isn't it?
Yeah, I see that.
That's why every time they baptize in the Bible, they baptize in what name?
The name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus. Even people that was baptized by John the Baptist had to get rebaptized to do call what name?
The name of Jesus.
It's not in just going under the water, but it's in calling the name of Jesus. The most wonderful name in the whole world, isn't it? Amen. So Jesus said you got to be born again of what? Two things?
Water and spirit.
Or you what? Cannot go
cannot enter.
And what's the water birth?
Baptism in Jesus' name.
And what's it for?
The remission of sins.
And what's the spirit birth?
The Holy Ghost.
And how did they know?
Speaking in tongues.
So now we're going to look at one more scripture here. We're going to go to the book of Acts again. And we're going to read one more preacher here.
You love that book, Acts.
Yes, it's a great book. We're going to look at the book of Acts chapter 8. And we're going to look at Philip again. Now Philip gets done preaching to this Ethiopian man the exact same things we just got done talking about. He just went through these same scriptures, explained all this, and he gets done preaching to him. And we'll pick up in verse 36. This was the Ethiopian's response to hearing the exact same message that I just shared with you right now.
And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?"
And that's the question I'd like to ask you right now. What would keep you right now from being baptized in the most incredible name in the whole universe, the wonderful name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins? What would keep you from doing that right now?
Guess nothing.
Unless we can do it right now. We got everything ready. We'll repent. We'll pray. And after we repent, we can be baptized in Jesus' name. God will wash away all your sins, and God will fill you with the real power of the Holy Ghost.
I like that.
All right.
I'll do.
Amen. We'll go and do it right now.
Okay. Right now, right now.
Amen.